I'd like to read just a few verses this morning. I'd like to begin in verse number 29. 1 Samuel 17:29, the Bible says, "And David said, What have I now done? Is there not a cause? And he turned from him toward another and spake after the same manner, and the people answered him again after the former manner. And when the words he heard which David spoke, they rehearsed them before Saul, and he sent for him. And David said to Saul, Let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servants will go and fight with this Philistine. And Saul said to David, Thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth. And David said unto Saul, Thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear, and took the lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him, and smote him, and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard, and smote him, and slew him. And thy servant slew both the lion and the Philistine, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he had defied the armies of the living God. And David said, Moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he would deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said unto David, Go, and the Lord be with thee. And Saul armed David with his armor, and he put a helmet of brass upon his head. Also he armed him with a coat of mail. And I like this verse. And David girded his sword upon his armor, and he essayed to go, for he had not proved it. And David said unto Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them. And David put them off him. And then I like to read verse number 40. And he took his staff in his hand and chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook. And he put them in a shepherd's bag, which he had even in a scrip. And his sling was in his hand. And he drew near to the Philistine. Just a few moments of time this morning, I'd like to preach to you on this thought out of 1 Samuel chapter 17. The victory of an unarmed faith. The victory of an unarmed faith. One man has said it like this. He said, I would like to be a small pencil in the hand of God, being submissive to His touch and allowing Him to write out the script of my life. You see, when a pen or a pencil is in the hand of the writer, Brother Rob, that pen or that pencil is in submission to what that writer wants to say. He knows how much pressure to apply to that pen. He knows how to make the ink bold, and he knows how to make the font whatever size he wants it to be. But we do know that that little pen or pencil is submissive to whatever the writer has to say. And that's the way that we ought to want to live our life as the children of God. We ought to want to be submissive to what the Holy Ghost of God has to say in our heart and to our life, and we ought to want to allow Him to write out the script of how we need to live our life. We find in these verses that I've read to you, and even in starting in verse 1 of chapter number 17, we see that the Lord is working on David behind the scene, and maybe nobody realizes it, but David does, and David wants to be submissive to the hand and the will of God in his life. We know that David is just a young man here, but David has a heart for God. And the Bible even says that David is a man after God's own heart. But David shows us some truths about how we need to live. I just want to mention 3 things this morning and I'll be done. But just by an introduction, I'd like to give you these. David shows us how we must live by faith. David shows us how we must walk by faith. And David shows us how we must stand by faith. But can I say this morning that David allowed the Lord to script his life. David was sensitive to not only what Jesse had asked him to do. You'll find in here that in the earlier verses David was responsible for looking over the flock down at the house of Jesse. He was tender towards his father. But can I say he was also tender toward the God of heaven. Not only was he tender towards his father, but he was also responsible with the task that his father had given him to do. And even when Jesse had asked David to go be a servant unto his brothers, the Bible said that he left the sheep in the carriage with the keeper. He didn't leave them unattended, but he allowed somebody to go there so he could go do what his father had asked him to do. And can I say, as the children of God this morning, that speaks volumes to our life. There's things that the children of God ought not leave unattended. You ought not to leave your prayer place unattended. You ought not to leave the house of God unattended in the days and age in which we live. But he was responsible for the task that his father gave him. And because David was living by faith, he was right in every time that he spoke in this passage. If you read verses 26 through 49, every time that David spoke because he lived by faith, he done nothing more but honor and magnify the Lord God in everything that he said and done. But also he was ready to use the tools that God gave him to use. And that's what happened when we live by faith. But everyone else in this passage of Scripture, even Saul, the general of the army, he too was living by sight. But David was living by faith. But what about everyone else in this passage of Scripture? Saul could only see Goliath because he was living by sight. And can I say that faith allows us to see what is on down the road? Faith can be said of this. Hebrews says this, the things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. But can I say that faith will also allow us to grasp what is not yet in our possession? And that's how David viewed the battle between him and Goliath, Brother Rod. Let me say that Goliath did not die in verses 49 through 51. But Goliath was already a dead man before David stepped on the scene in his eyes. And that's what faith will allow us to do. But what was Saul doing? Saul was living by sight. And let me say that if we live by sight, we will get so caught up in what's in front of us and what's around us, and we'll only see what lies right in front of our eyes. But aren't you glad this morning that God knows how to give faith that'll let you see victory down the road before you ever get to the battle? Amen. And that's the way David was. He showed us how to live by faith, walk by faith, and stand by faith. But Saul, he was living in the nursing home of his fears. And so was the children of Israel. And Eliab, he was nursing his jealousy. And old Goliath was flexing his pride. But aren't you glad for a little shepherd boy down in Bethlehem by the name of David who was flexing his faith? And can I say today that it's about time for the children of God to not roll over and play dead? We've come too far to quit. We've come too far to throw in the towel. But we've got a reason to march on for the glory and honor of God. God used young David to win the battle. But I want to say this, that God had found in David a man to do his bidding. And David knew his God in a personal way, and he knew his power. Therefore, David could fight the giant, not with Saul's armor, but with the unarmed faith. I'm glad this morning that faith is exactly what we need as the children of God. David knew this. Listen to this. If you don't get anything this morning, listen to this. David knew that to fear the enemy was to have more faith in what Goliath could do to him than what the holy God could do for him. And can I say today that we don't have a reason to be discouraged. We don't have a reason to quit. But we've got all the more reason to charge on for the glory and the honor of God, because my God is faithful to His children. Amen. When I say when panic has seized the rest of the world, faith will allow the child of God to charge toward the battle. Listen, when God saved us, He did not save us to sit on the sidelines and to guard the water cooler. That's not what God done. But when God saved you and when God saved me and got my hands out of my pocket that I may go to work for the glory and the honor of God. Listen, there's no time to quit. There's no time to stand by. There's no time to watch what is going on around us. But we're living in days where we need to work for the glory and the honor of God. David was not standing around. David was itching to do something for God. Hebrews 11:1 says that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And I made mention of this. It can be said that is the assurance of things hoped for. And it might be called the confirmation of things that are not yet in our possession. And we must realize that faith is the document showing ownership of the things promised by our precious Lord and Savior. David's faith seen the unseen and rested upon the very promises of God. That's why his reaction was so different from everybody else's. They was living by sight. They got caught up in staring. But David saw what was coming down the road. They had their eyes on the problem rather than the solution. But David, on the other hand, was concerned about his God. And can I say that It's about time that we get concerned about God. It's about time that we get concerned for the lost. It's about time that we get a burden like we've never had before to pray and to stay in the Word of God. I heard one preacher say it like this. The prayer and Bible reading and Bible time is just like the birds on a wing. He needs his right one and he needs his left one. And can I say that's the way it is for the child of God. We need our prayer time and we need our study time in God's Word. But can I say this? David's public victories were the result of his private and secret fellowship with God. Can I say that God was preparing David in the valley or over there in Bethlehem before he ever brought him to the valley of Elah? And can I say that it would do us all good to fight in private before we ever go public? And that's what the emphasis is right here. David, God was preparing him behind the scene. But I want to say this. David knew as a result of these private and secret meetings with God in Bethlehem. He learned when he got to the valley of Elah, there are more weapons than just carnal, but there are spiritual weapons for the child of God. I want to give you these three truths and I'm done. I want to say something about the unarmed faith and its past. The unarmed faith and its past. Can I say that faith has the right to argue with the past about the future because it draws its source from an inexhaustible God? You see, when David was on the way to the valley of Elah, Jesse told him, he said, look, I need you to lead the sheep and I need you to take some corn and bread and some cheeses down to your brother. And so David went just as his father had asked him to do. He was tender towards his touch, and he was responsible with the task that he had given him to do. But can I say in the process, David was promoted from a shepherd to a servant, and he went to serve his brothers. Well, when he got there, he ran into a problem. Eliab was aggravated. Eliab was tore up, and he basically said this to David, what in the world are you doing down here? He said, you have no business here. You don't need to put your nose where it does not belong. He said, we've got it all covered, but yet nobody was doing anything about it. Amen. And it would not be long that David would go from a shepherd to a servant, and he'd be promoted to a soldier, and he would fight on the behalf of Israel. Aren't you glad that there's promotion for the child of God if we'll just listen and be submissive to what the Lord says to our life? Can I say that David would later write in Psalm 37, the steps of a good man is ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way, and though he shall fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. Amen. David knew what it was to be obedient to the Lord, but he listened to his earthly father as well. But Eliab was jealous of David. You know what David could have done? David could have said, no way, I'm done. Any time that we go to do something for God, ain't it just like the devil to throw up something in your way? And sometimes he uses those whom you love the most to discourage you and get you down. David could have said, you know what? I'm too small. I'm not big enough. I'm not good enough. And you're right. I'm just an old shepherd. You're just a man of war. You know how to do it better than I do. But no, David had orders from another headquarters, and David showed up and he was ready to battle with Goliath. Can I say that disappointments will come, but discouragement is a choice. David could have rolled over and quit. He could have said, I'm done. But David takes it a step further. He says this. Brother Jeremy said it yesterday. I was getting a little nervous because Brother Jeremy got in this passage and I already had it on my heart. But he made this statement. Is there not a cause? Can I ask you this morning, is there not a cause on why we're fighting? Is there not a cause of why we're here for these 2 weeks? Is there not a cause why so much labor and work has been done behind the scenes? Or is it just all in vain? No. We're here with one purpose and one reason only, and that is to uplift the name of Jesus, and that is to make much of Him, and that is to see Him for who He is and see us for who we are and worship and magnify a holy and a righteous God. Amen. So he goes on, and he gets before Saul, the unarmed faith and its past. And Saul says, listen, David. He said, Goliath is a man of war from his youth. And he said, you're nothing more than just a ruddy old shepherd boy. In other words, like we had said around here, he'd eat you whole and spit you out. What do you mean, go and fight with Goliath? And then David does something. And it'd do us all good. But David, I can hear him now. Saul, if you just don't mind just a minute. Let me just brag on God just for 1 minute. Let me just take a spiritual inventory on what God's done for my life. And David said, listen, Saul, when I was back there a few days ago, listen, the Lord delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear. And he said, this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them. David said, just let me take a minute and testify to the goodness of God. He said, if God can do it one time, he can do it again. If God can do it twice, he can do it a third time. And if he can do it down at the Red Sea, and he can do it for Moses, and he can do it for the children of Israel, he can sure do it again for me. When's the last time that you've just took a spiritual inventory in front of the old devil and said, listen here, buddy, God's been faithful. God's been true. God's given me a home. God's given me a family. God's given me healthy babies. God's saved my youngest. God's grown the church. God's paid the bills. God's given me clothes on my back and shoes on my feet and food on my table. We best take an inventory of what God has done. It'd do us all good just to, I'm not saying to live in the past, but I'm saying it'd sure help us if we'd just reflect a little bit on the goodness and the mercy of God. And David took a time out for Jesus' sake, and he got to bragging on God for a few moments. Talking about the unarmed faith and its past. David's faith saw the victory before the battle even began. Let me say this. The power of God is at the disposal of our faith. And my, how we need the Lord to touch us this morning, to trust in Him. Listen, do you know that we don't have one single reason not to trust in Him? I wonder this morning if anybody can say God ain't been faithful to me. I wonder if there's anybody this morning that said God ain't come through for me. Well, preacher, he didn't heal me of my cancer. Maybe that was the best interest. God knows what's best. Can I say that God has always batted 1,000 and he always will? Do you know there's never ceased to be a time that God's not been true, or God's not been holy, or God's not been right, or God's not been just, or God's never been perfect? Do you know that there's never ceased to be a time? Do you know there's never been a time, there's never been a time where God, Brother Curtis, has not seen what's going on? There's never been a time where Brother Josh, he's forgot what's going on? There's never been a time that he's ever left me? There's never been a time that he's forsaken me? There's never been a time in my life where God has not been faithful. And David said, if he could do it in the valley or in the field of Bethlehem, he can do it in the valley of Elah too. The unarmed faith and its past. But then I want to say something about the unarmed faith and its present. You see, the Lord used that lion and that bear as stepping stones to get David to where he needed to be in his life. You say, preacher, why in the world has God let me go through these battles that I'm going through? You may only see the valley that you're walking in, but God sees the mountain that you're going to be standing on. He knows how to get you to where you need to be. And that's exactly what he done in the life of David. But listen, I said something about the unarmed faith in his past, but I want to say something about the unarmed faith in his present. As when David goes before Saul, Saul says, listen, I've got something that I need to offer you. He said, I've got all of this armor. And he said, I want you to have it. And the Bible said that David put it off because he did not prove it. David had never put it on before. David was not familiar with it. That was Saul's. Can I say this morning that just because somebody else is wearing it, just because somebody else is doing it, just because the world does it, does not mean that it's for the child of God.
It was as if Saul was saying this, listen, it's worked for me and surely it's going to work for you. But what David knew is that there was something in the field of Bethlehem that had already got the job done. And he said, listen, why in the world do I need to change tools now? He said, God was the same back there and he'll be the same here and I'll just stick with what I've always used. And I say this, there's nothing wrong with sticking with praying. There's nothing wrong with sticking to camp meeting. There's nothing wrong with sticking to the Word of God. There's nothing wrong with sticking around and witnessing to souls. There's nothing wrong with the spiritual weapons that God has given us to use. I can see David now getting that thing on. And man, he'd have had a drug get around. And guess what? It'd have been more of a hindrance to him than a help to him. But can I say this? I believe that David also knew in his mind that if he'd have wore that out to the battlefield, you know who he'd have looked like when he got there? He'd have looked no more different than Goliath did. Can I say that God has called us to be set apart? Amen. God has called us to be different. Amen. David takes it off and he says, Saul, this ain't going to work. I'm a 36 regular and you're a 52 long and this just ain't even compatible with me. And so David goes on. The Bible says that he took his staff in his hand and he chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook and he put them in a shepherd's bag which he had even in a scrip and his sling was in his hand and he drew near to the Philistine. I was thinking about this morning that David was probably familiar with water holes in his life. And boy, it'd do us good to get familiar with some water holes in our life. It was no coincidence or an accident that God dropped him off at the brook on the way down to the valley of Elah. And guess what was in that brook? There was 5 smooth stones. We all know what the number 5 is. It's the picture of grace. But David stopped off there, and God had put those stones there just for him. All those weapons that, guess what, Saul had, man had their hands on them. Man had formed them. Man had made them. But I got news for you. What God has for you, it comes straight from Him. Guess what? Nobody's hands had ever been on those stones that God gave David. But God gave them to him, and he picked them up. Why in the world did he get 5 stones? It's a picture of grace, or could it be that he knew that Goliath had 4 sons that could show up? Or how many of us has ever fought a battle where it took more than one shot to get the old devil off your back? And Paul said this, my grace is sufficient for thee. But ever what reason it was, God had David covered. And can I say that God this morning has got you back? God knows exactly what we need, and he knows how to provide it. But I want to say this. I was thinking about those 5 smooth stones, and I heard this. Those 5 stones could have represented this. God is, God can, God will, God does, and God has. You say, which one did he use? He used the first one. God is our refuge and a very present help in the time of trouble. The unarmed faith in his past, the unarmed faith in his present. And I want to say something last about the unarmed faith in his power. And I'll be done. If I can leave you with this morning, faith has the power to take what is above your head and seemingly impossible to everyone else. Yes, and it has the power to put it underneath your feet to where you can walk on it. You say you don't have Bible for that. I sure do. There was a big bad giant that had everybody scared to death, but God had prepared David. And the Bible said this, that he got his sling out and he put a stone in it, and he began to twirl it. And he cast it, and he buried it between the forehead of old Goliath. And guess what? Brother Tom, I heard you say this down at Myrtle. But it was just as if God slapped old Goliath on the back of the neck and face-planted him right in the dirt. And ain't that just like the Lord to do that for his children? I'm talking about when you don't know how you're going to make it and you don't know how you're going to get by. Brother Jeremy said yesterday, just put on the armor and stand and let the Lord fight the battle. Amen. And God delivered him. But listen to this. The very weapon that Goliath was going to feed him to the fowls of the air with. David goes over there and he draws it out of the sheath of Goliath and he cuts his head off. And listen, now God has added to his trophy case. He has the head of a lion. He has the head of a bear. And now he's got the big old head of Goliath. And then, by the way, the Bible said this, that he got up on him and he stood there. Aren't you glad for every time that God has allowed you to stand on top of your problem and just go to thanking Him and just go to magnifying Him? Say, preacher, I've come in this morning and I'm tired and I'm weary and I need a drink of water and I just ain't sure how the church is going and I'm thinking about quitting. Can I say that God knows how to take what's impossible to you and everybody else and put it underneath your feet and bridge you to the next place in your life? But the Bible also says that David kept the armor and he put it in his tent. But he done something else with that head. While he marched that head into Jerusalem. And I can hear the shouts of victory. And I believe that David went through there. This is just me. I can't prove it, as Brother Tony said, but I can't help but think. David went through there and he's a showing off what God had done for him and what God had done for Israel. And it was as if he was saying this, hey, that big bad giant that was in the valley, he is no longer there anymore. And guess what? You don't have to fear. You don't have to worry. You don't have to quit anymore because God has taken care of the problem like he always does. Amen. God knows how to give you the victory this morning. Guess what? You don't have to dress up fancy. You don't have to dress up like the world. Just put on the whole armor of God. Take the shield of faith and march onto the battlefield. And as Brother Jeremy said, just stand and let God move. I'm glad that God knows how to give victory this morning. I'm talking about the victory of an unarmed faith. You see, David did not have his trust in the armor. He did not have his faith in the armaments. He did not have his faith in the army. But he had his faith in the Almighty God of heaven. And the Lord helped David prevail the victory of an unarmed faith.